one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Well, a thought came to me, and I'll introduce the message by saying that we were flying across from Birmingham to Macon and had sort of a deadline, and we'd already excused the bus because we stayed so long in Birmingham, and then we lost an hour, you know, crossing from Birmingham, and I knew that it would just really press the bus out of measure to make it to Macon for the night service, leaving there, say, at 5 or maybe a little after. There'd be no way for them to make it. But I got the ensemble, and we headed for the airport to the tune of weather alerts and tornado alerts and embedded thunderstorms and so forth. And I waited for the next hour's weather, and I said, all right, jump in the plane. We're heading for Macon. And so we got in the plane and started over the mountain and then across, and we got over to LaGrange. And I'd call LaGrange. Oh, I called them on 122.6. I called them on 122.2. And I called them on everything I knew to call them on. No response. No response. I couldn't get them. And there I was facing dark. And the weather, the clouds is just kicking around at both wings, you know. And there I was, and right under me were the pine trees. And right back of me were all the precious cargo of girls. And so I had to make a decision. I crossed over and started on into Macon. I said, no, I'm just going to play it safe. And so I went back and landed at LaGrange. I landed there, and I called Macon and the flight service, and then I filed a flight plan. But I then called up the flight service that's changed their place there in LaGrange. You know what he said to me? He said, are you with 3295 Romeo? And I said, yes. He said, I've been answering you. I heard you calling. You called on 122.6 and 122.2 and 123.6 and said, I heard you, but you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You see, we only transmit on 122.3. And he said, I was hoping you'd get on 122.3. You see, I never would have been late. I'd run right in on time. But I was on the wrong frequency, see. I didn't know what his frequency was. It didn't show on the map that I had. And so, you see, girls, did you know that heaven's answering you and talking to you? And a lot of times you don't hear, do you? You just don't hear. Now, what if the Lord speaks to you tonight in the message? Are you tuned into the right frequency? You'd say, what is the frequency? B-I-B-L-E. That'll get it. I mean, you can listen now. All right, I want to speak tonight on something the whole world is concerned about. I mean, the whole world is concerned about. I mean, everybody. Now, listen, you can mention this word, and I'll guarantee every businessman's ears will prick up. I mean, you can get the attention of Wall Street. And if you really, if I can convince you that I know what I'm talking about, everybody on earth will be concerned about the truth of the message and the subject and the fulfillment of what I'm going to preach on tonight. You know what I'm going to preach on? I want to preach on how, and I don't mean in a cheap, selfish way either. I want to preach on how to enjoy prosperity. Now, everybody wants to be prosperous, but there's only one way. Now, first of all, I'll say America is not a prosperous nation. I mean, she doesn't have a healthy prosperity. We've had inflation. Any nation as deeply in debt as America is a bad businessman. And all the nations are in debt tonight. Now, why have we lost out? Why is everybody living on borrowed money? A man that has to live on borrowed money is a bad businessman. A man that can't pay his debts is a bad businessman. If you live beyond your means, you turn out to be meaner than you would have been otherwise. How can you be prosperous? What does the Bible say about prosperity? Does God care where I pay my bills or not? Does He want me to have something to eat and clothes to wear? Well, the Bible said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And Paul said, I've learned in what sort of state I am therewith to be content. What is the secret and foundation of real prosperity? I really feel like the world needs this message, and all of us need this message. Now, I'm not going to offer you a little piece of cloth. I don't have a prosperity cloth. I'm not going to offer any mustard seed. I'm not going to offer a little piece of a stick that I got out of Palestine. But I tell you what I am going to offer you. I'm going to offer you the only Bible contact and point of contact there is, and that's this right here, this book. Now, do you want to be prosperous? You line it with God and let God make you prosperous. If God doesn't prosper you, you'll never be prosperous. And any prosperity that is not God-inspired and Christ-centered and Bible-given is not prosperity. You'll lose it. And I want to talk with you about what the book says about prosperity. You'd say, well, what right do you have to speak on prosperity? What do you know about it? Just want to learn from the Bible. It does take some dollars every day to keep the enterprises above the water level. And when God supplies dollars every day, then, far as I'm concerned, He has prospered the ministry. But that's not the only measuring rod. When we came back here with seniors, and they were on the victory side, they had not stepped aside. Some of those girls were completely and hopelessly defeated and were written off as lost causes. And yet, talk about ladies. In a day where the girls looked the way they looked, and then to see the seniors as they came. And then you said they were not a part of the choir, most of them, and yet listen to the way they sang. And what they've learned in the scripture, and the boldness, and the humility, and the testimonies. Now, to me, that's real prosperity. Now, that's what I'm not talking about getting a fistful of money. I'm not talking about just getting a bank and a bunch of savings and all that. Fact is, I doubt if there's anybody that's prosperous in the eyes of the Lord that has a lot of money in savings not being used for the glory of God. You just think you're prosperous. You're not prosperous. You say, well, I believe the Lord has prospered me. Listen, God didn't give you a bunch of stuff to hold or to keep. He gave you something to use for His glory. This man came in, and we talked in the study, and he said, Brother Olaf, I think I'm fixing to come into some money. He said, could you use it and keep it, and then if I need it, I could get it back? I said, yes. He said, I'd like for it to go to work. You know what made him do that? He came in and sat down, and he saw hundreds of girls, and they just kind of got a hold of his heart. And he limped out of here on his walking sticks and said, I want to do something for somebody else. Now, that's bordering on prosperity right there. You say, you mean if he gave some of his money away? That's the only real prosperity you're going to have when you get home. I guarantee you, you won't have when you get to heaven what you kept. You'll have what you gave away. And that's all it'll meet you on the other side. Prosperity. Let's take some scriptures, will you? Now, you know we're going to start out with Joshua 1:8, don't you? This book. There it is. That's a prosperous book. I mean, this is better than the Wall Street Journal any time. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to A-double-L all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Oh, if people could observe, he said, all things that are written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You'll make your way prosperous if you'll observe to do according to all A-double-L. Now, that's all of it. That's all of it. In all thy ways acknowledge God. He'll direct your path. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring it to pass. That's Joshua 1:8. Now then, skip to 3 John, will you? 3 John, that's way over on the other side of the book, isn't it? That's just right on the opposite side of the Bible field. And it's going to be 3 John. It'll be verse 2. Beloved, now that's Christians, isn't it? Beloved, I wish above all things. Above all things. Most of us never get above them, do we? Most of us live under them. Most of us are guided by things. Our hands are full of things. Our time is occupied with things. And yet the Bible said life does not consist in the abundance of things that one may possess. Beware of covetousness, he said. And Paul said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's not the end of it. Even as thy soul prospereth. That's prosperity. And that's the kind I'm going to talk about. You'd like to turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Look at the verse again, verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who's that? He's the man that's planted. He's the man, first of all, there's a negative side. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Standeth not in the way of sinners. Sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. On the positive side, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. In his law doth he meditate every Sunday. No, sir. Day and night. Day and night. You want to be prosperous? There's a way. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to be prosperous? Stay with the book. Do you want inflation or do you want prosperity? You'll never be prosperous. You'll never be a good businessman, God's sight, until we become scriptural in our living. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? And let's see what he has to say. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now that word mammon, we just call it money. We just call it worldliness. We just call it material things. You can't serve it. Now it didn't say you couldn't make it serve you. Money is a good servant, but a bad master. I have, if I know my heart, no ulterior motive in preaching what I'm preaching tonight, except to say that if you ever learn how to recognize the use and value of material things and make them your servants and make them to glorify God, you've learned one of life's choicest lessons. Most people are slaves of things and money and jobs, and most people work in order to keep, not give. The Bible said we're to work with these hands. We're to work with these hands. We're to work with these hands. You know why? In order that we might have something to give, to give them that have need. Now, that's the purpose of work. Is that why you work today? That ought to be the mission purpose of this field right here. We ought to work in order to have something to give the girls, give the boys, and give the men, and give the women. And a preacher called me. His heart's broken. His wife's greatly disturbed. He sent his boy. He's 16 now. This man's training now for the ministry. His boy came to Zapata. And he ran. He's in the jail now. He said, Brother Olaf, is there any other place that you could put him? He said, my wife, his mother's so disturbed about him. And I said, yes, sir, we'll sure try to get him out tomorrow, work with him, and give him another opportunity down at the lighthouse. No matter where you go, this awful malady of sin sure has spread fast and far, hadn't it? I mean, it's everywhere. And all the girls, all the young people, they're just about in the same boat. We've lost a complete generation of young people. Ah, listen, dear friend. Field is white already in the harvest. Already on the harvest. And God continues to bless. What is prosperity? Well, he said, whatsoever you do will prosper. But he says you can't serve God and money at the same time, or God and mammon at the same time. Turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. I'd say this is the greatest chapter that I know anything about, if we look at it like we ought to, on real prosperity. Now, he draws the line here. He draws the line, book of Luke. He tells us in the book of Luke that he said, let's look for just a moment. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 9, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, see, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful, oh, listen to this. He that is faithful
in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, now I think that's the least right there. A lot of people think it's the most, but that's the least. If you've not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, it doesn't mean that all mammon is unrighteous. It's just according to what kind of hand it's in. If my hand's unrighteous, then my mammon or money's unrighteous. I can change the complexion of money. I can take a gambler's money. I mean, if, for instance, a gambler or a drunkard or a liquor man were just to drop, say, $10 million, I'd change the complexion of that in a hurry. Not that I'm asking him for it. I don't ask the liquor crowd for money. I don't depend on the world. But I know one thing. If the money in a selfish miser's hand became mine, it'd be unrighteous when I got it, and it'd be righteous immediately after I got it because I'd do right by it, and I'd put it to work for not every penny of it. Now, that's the difference right there. But he said, I'll tell you something else. If you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon or money or material things, then he raised the question, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Ring what that is. Why, that's spiritual things. Why, that's the blessings and power of God. If you haven't learned to be faithful in money matters, God said you'll never get the best. You'll never get the best. And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Have you ever come into your own? Have you ever really gotten what belongs to you? Have you ever cashed in? Have you ever drawn the money out of the bank that God got put in your name? I mean, have you ever learned to write a spiritual check on heaven and sign in the name of Jesus? Did you know that you'll never write a check so big that it will not be honored at the bank of faith if you learn to sign it in Jesus' name? Well, I went off to Baylor University many years ago, and I tell you, my dad said to me, he said, now, son, when you get there, and if you really, I mean, get in a bad fix, I mean, you just can't make it. You've got to have some help. He said, I'm going to teach you, and I'd never written a check in my life. I didn't know beans about it. He said, I'm going to tell you how to write a check, and you write the check out and put the amount, and if you need $10 or $5, and that was a lot of money back in those days, he said, now, you write it, but listen, you sign H.A. Roloff on that check. And then you can put down under it, by Lester. Now, if I'd have signed Lester Roloff, that wouldn't have got anything. But when I signed my daddy's name, I mean, the bankers looked at it and said, well, we'll honor it. Now, that's where I write my spiritual checks. I sign Jesus' name by one of God's children. See, I'm a child of God. I don't have the money to buy. He does. But I can get it for getting his name. Everything I have is in the name of Jesus. Did you know that? Everything. All of our homes are in the name of Jesus. Every message, every day's life ought to be in the name of Jesus. Oh, I tell you, you live and learn, don't you? But most people live and never learn. But we need to learn to live completely by faith. You know, some people feel like the Christian life is just lower taxes and full dinner paid and higher wages, you know. And these preachers that get on the radio and say, now, if you'll send me a gift, or if you'll let me do this for you, I'll guarantee you, you'll get twice as much. I've never said that. I've never said that. I mean, so far as material things are concerned. But I tell you what I can say. If you'll serve God and behave yourself and live for Jesus Christ, you'll get all you need, and he'll see to that. I just went over that in the book of Psalms a while ago and read where he said, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. And that's the reason you're not going to catch me getting on the radio begging. And I'm not going to go anywhere and beg because I'm not supposed to beg. I can pray, and there's a difference between begging and praying. And I believe God will supply our needs if we'll put our trust in him. And I'll tell you, if I can ever get over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where God made heaven, he which hath begun, and he's already begun. And he said he'll perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. It's not how smart you are, but it's how much you believe God. I'd rather have a little less smart and more faith in God than to be so smart I couldn't trust him. One of the things, we've got too many smart aleks trying to put the pressure on God. You're not going to get anywhere like that. I was thinking about these seniors graduating and all that they've learned and privilege of graduating from a Christian academy.
and many others coming along behind them?
I don't like to brag about my ignorance, but I've had my share of it. I mean, all along the trail. And I don't think anybody ought to be proud that they're ignorant, but there's a lot of times you can't help yourself. I mean, we came up in a very simple way. We came up in a very simple way. We really did. And Ms. Roloff has taught me a good many things, and of course I maybe have taught her a few things too. But anyhow, I used to go to Galveston. She was the only child of S.W. Braith. She was refined and cultured, and of course I didn't know too much about that. But we went out, and Miss Brady, she was very precise and nice and fine and really lovely, old-fashioned, godly people. I mean, the kind that helped to make this nation great. I mean, he started on the railroad when he was a boy, I guess, and 46 years later, up in the top positions and so forth. But they were very particular, I think, about their daughter. But I remember I'd go down there, and they'd take me to the Harvey House. You remember that? Oh, the Harvey House. I mean, that was the Santa Fe deal, wasn't it? And that was a very precise place and nice place to eat. And, of course, an old country boy. And I went in with her, and it's been years ago. But we went in, and we'd sit down, and, of course, they'd bring, you know, all the waitresses were so nice, and everything was so clean and neat back in those days, and the food was prepared and so forth. And they came out, they'd give me one of those menus, you know. Man, it had French names, and I don't know what all the names. Man, it just wasn't good English to me at all. And then I sit there, and I was suffering through it. I didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, if they'd have just said, do you want, you know, some scrambled eggs or something like that, I could have made it. But, I mean, it was everything but that, you know. If they'd have said, do you want some, you know, mashed potatoes or something, but a man would haul all them things on it, you know, and they'd bring a little salad. Well, I never had a salad like that in my life. I mean, they'd just come, you'd just eat that salad and maybe a cracker or two, you know. And so I'd just sit there and look around at Miss Brady. And, of course, I think Marie wanted me to make a good impression on her mother, you know. And, of course, I did, too, because I knew that the future was at stake and so forth. But anyhow, they'd look at their menu, you know, and they'd look, and I'd look at mine, I'd look at theirs. She'd say, I believe I'll have it. She'd read off all that stuff. And what is your order? I said, just give me the same as hers. I knew I couldn't go. I didn't know what she's getting. I was hoping to turn out all right. But I said, that's all I knew. I just didn't understand. But I know one of the embarrassing moments was really, you know, I mean, it's one of these fancy places. I mean, Harvey House, that's back in the days when I'm in his top flight. They came around in a little while and put out a little bowl, you know, full of water. Little bowl full of water. And I was thirsty, so I just drank it. Yeah, I just drank right out of it. And it was the finger bowl. I was supposed to put my fingers in that, you know, and wash the grease or whatever. You know, but I tanked it right down, went on. I mean, and I tell you, well, I know this. I don't want to be too dumb about this book, though. Might have been kind of serious back there then. It didn't amount to much. Whether I drank the water out of the finger bowl, the fish bowl, didn't make a lot of difference. You know, but I tell you, dear friends, I want to know where to get the water of life. And I know the Lord has been faithful. And he said he'd teach me what I needed to know if I'll just put my trust in him, humble myself before him. And he'll speak to my heart. Well, are you prosperous tonight? Would you know what to do with money? Would you let me tell the little story? Many years came to me and it just popped in my mind. And most people are not prepared and not ready to handle money. Did you know that? That's the reason the Lord won't let us have it. A lot of time, we just don't do what we'll do with it. If God were to drop $1 million, you remember the man came out, knocked on the layman's door and said, say, he said, I've got some good news for your pastor, for one of your deacons, rather. And he said, you're his pastor, aren't you? And he said, yes, I am. He said, I happen to be an attorney connected. Oh, you'd say, Brother Worth, if somebody gave me $1 million, I'd give half of it to the Lord. You would? What would you do with the other half? You'd say, well, I'd keep... is that right? Let me tell you something. You better be careful what you keep for yourself. You better keep it for the glory of God and use it. I can give a lot better than I can keep for the glory of God. Now, I can just nail about it, give anything for the glory of God, but I tell you, it's pretty hard to keep something for the glory of God a lot of times.
We're delighted you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today is entitled, How to Enjoy Prosperity. To receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO3316. We'd like to have the call letters to the radio stations you're listening to and also today's date. And to help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, it's 1-800-772-7507. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is A Message in Song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the SAP, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole. By the waters of Blue Galilee.